there was a ceramic owl on this other balcony that if you just caught it right, it was so startling. Every time you saw it, it was just like the most startling thing. It was like this thing peering over at you. And it was just, it just freaked everybody out every time we were out there. And I like this ceramic owl more than I like True Detective this season.
Michelle, if you're just going to pick on True Detective, this isn't going to work out.
Sorry.
All right, we're here for Halt and Catch Fire 207 on West Coast Project. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
And Michelle, what was the owl's name?
I didn't name the owl.
Hootie?
We can call him Frank.
Okay. This is 207 working for the clampdown, and like we said, Halt and Catch Fire has missed us as much as we've missed it because we haven't done it in 3 weeks. So we're way behind.
Working for the clampdown?
Yeah.
Okay, I got working for free. That's what it said on mine. Remember how they did that before? How they had different titles? That's funny. Okay.
Yeah, working for the clampdown.
Okay.
So I have some thoughts about this, Michelle. This is the clash of all personalities in this episode. Everybody is different. The clash of personalities. You put these people in a big room for a party, everyone would be different and there would be a clash. Like, nobody would agree on anything. They're all different and they're all right. They actually turn out to all be correct in this episode. And I liked them all the different personalities of all the people, all the heroes in our show here. I liked them all.
You like everybody?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool.
And we also see in this one that the democracy, with my air quotes around it, of mutiny is tested for real for the first time.
Yep.
And it's proven that it's not really existent. It's non-existent.
There is
no democracy in mutiny. And there's no democracy ever in a company, really.
Right, in a business like that. No way.
So the opening scene is Gordon telling Donna about his illness. And it was, you know, I think a lot of the people that worked on, we said this before, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, the technical people and the producers and the support people, also work on Halt and Catch Fire. And this scene was very reminiscent to me of Walt hearing about his cancer, where he kind of, again, air quotes around, heard about his cancer. He kind of hears it in a fugue state, and the guy's voice is distant, and it kind of comes back in. And that's how Donna, they show Donna kind of fuguely looking at Gordon, but I think it's Gordon's fugue state. It doesn't strike you as believable right away. You can't absorb it.
Right, like the denial and that kind of thing almost.
So they're still trying to make Gordon look as normal as possible. Like, don't worry, it's going to slow me down a little bit. I'll just work from home. But we know he's on a worse track than this. He's not just going to be okay. And, of course, we were catching up, so we were already up to 208, 209. We know that things are not going to be okay for Gordon. Spoiler alert. but we're late in doing this, so I think we can get away with saying that.
Oh, don't spoil. We can't spoil.
So Joe and Jacob now are planning their expansion for Mutiny, and they...
Okay, but wait, I'm sorry. He also capitalizes on that moment to, like, kind of push for sex with her, and she turns him down.
Yeah, we're gonna start to see this too.
Do you think that was because she did go through with abortion? I'm assuming, right? Because remember, that was kind of questionable. Because I wasn't sure when she was back home and she was sitting there and everything. I wasn't sure she went through with it, but I'm thinking now at this scene that would be why she couldn't.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Donna's abortion.
Oh, I thought you said divorce him.
No, abortion.
Yeah, remember, of course she did. Of course
okay,
she
well,
did.
No, remember, we talked about it. I wasn't sure she did. She went there, and then it just showed her at home, and she was sitting there, and Gordon had called her and everything, and the way she was acting, I wasn't sure she did, but I think they were showing here by her turning him down actually did.
This is the good show, Michelle. This isn't the one where they...
Where you have to second guess everything.
You can't do that. You can't have her go to the family planning clinic and then two episodes later say, you know what, I didn't really ever go through with it. Plus, her mom later is talking about it, and her mom's misreading it, and then she can't turn out to be right that she really is still pregnant and happy.
Okay. Well, right. Okay.
So Jacob and Joe are planning their expansion for Mutiny. They're going to buy the whole neighborhood, Michelle. turn it into a campus. They're going to turn it into a South Bay Silicon Valley in, there in Dallas, and make it a make the Motley Crue spirit go through the whole block and just make a campus of geniuses on their street.
Yeah, they've got it all figured out. And Jacob also calls Joe brilliant here. And I thought that was like a really good moment between the two of them.
Yeah, I got some stuff when it comes to it in this. I want to ask you, maybe it's even in the next episode, but whether stuff was planned or whether it developed the way it did.
Right.
Because it's hard to figure out if these people plan these things the whole way or if they kind of adjusted on the fly.
Right, if it just unfolds.
So we jump back to Cameron now meeting Tom's mom.
Right.
I think for the purpose of establishing money needs, she's dressed up there in her uniform like she's got a job as kind of a fake out. But she's really doing the hard sell on Tom to Cameron for Tom's behalf.
And I know.
We find out later she doesn't really even have this job anymore.
Right.
So.
And in this episode, too, we also see that Goof Troop. They're in there and they're playing like that throw the wall sticky thing and, you know, all that. And Cameron scolds them. And I think that was the beginning of the breakdown. Remember where you were talking about the democracy? I think that was the beginning of the breakdown of where they can't just do everything that they want to do all the time anymore. And I just kind of made a note of that. That was the first time I've seen her scold them. They've been, you know, just this complete distraction of chaos all the time. And nothing's ever said. And that's the first time I ever saw her say anything.
Yeah, that would be a really hard work situation for me. If that was my house and those were people I was paying to work for me and they were throwing games and toys around all day. Unless they lived there like 24 hours and I knew that they worked between like 2 a.m. and 7 a.m. like super hard.
Right.
Where you could let them goof around. But I don't see them doing that. I see them coming and going in the daytime and screwing around most of the time.
Right.
But,
I know.
So Joe calls. He's coming over with an offer for a buyout of Mutiny. And we're going to find out it's for $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first break. So as they're waiting for Joe, Donna requests time off of Cameron because she knows that she's going to need time for Gordon.
Right.
And as she's doing that, Joe walks in. And
right.
I thought it was kind of weird. Now, anyone can just walk into that house?
I guess. I mean, that's not the first time Joe has even walked in. Of course, this was Joe's home before, remember?
Yeah, but I don't go walking into my ex-girlfriend's houses. Just because they were my ex-girlfriend.
Right. Probably a good idea.
At least not when they're home.
Not to home.
All right, so with Cameron, Boz, and Donna see the offer wordlessly. That was really cool, them contemplating what was on that piece of paper.
Right. Boz was the only one. He made like an exclamation. And the other two, they're like, well, Cameron blows everything off, but Donna's stunned by it. So.
And Joe's going to offer them more than the money, too, which I think is ultimately maybe more valuable than the $5 million. But anyway, he kind of goes through what they have, which is interesting, too. They have 34 computers, 12 of which are brand new, 22 employees, and a coffee machine. And a lot of good ideas. So I guess it shows you that the intellectual content is really the valuable things when companies change hands like that.
But see, Joe also says that what makes this space special is people connecting, which is Donna's idea, which further alienates Cameron on it. Cameron is so hung up on these games at this point, and I think that's a pretty important thing as it comes out later.
And this is where adjusting on the fly a couple times happens. Like Joe adjusts on the fly by deflecting the need for community and keeping all games going, and then how global expansion is going to make them all huge. And Donna really wants to hear him out, but Cameron just wants to shut it down.
Oh, I know. And she does that big, you know, big dramatic walk into the other room and all that, and takes the paper and walks in there in front of these people who have no idea what's even going on, and talks it up negatively and alters how they're going to feel about it and gets this group mentality against it and everything, and then tears it into small pieces. This big, totally Cameron-esque move.
This is one part of this show that I really like. This show that I really dislike. It's Cameron's appearing to have grown and being able to give a nice corporate presentation and pitch, elevator pitch her company to pretty tough characters and winning them over. And then she turns back into this little punk who says, hey, do you want to go to work with a suit on and have grandmas exchange recipes? Is that the company you want to build? Kind of embarrassing Joe in front of 20 people and embarrassing herself, really, too.
I agree. It's painful. Painful to watch that. That's what I was saying, you know, when I asked at the beginning if you liked everybody, because Cameron is hard to like. You like her. I like her a little more as it goes on, but
well, dang. I do like her. I don't like the way that they make her way progressed and then way reverted back to the old Cameron over and over. But I do like her when she's progressive and she's, like, learned and she's become more savvy and more businesslike. And
well, sure.
So Joe suggests he'd get out of the way. He even retools that. Like, I'll, you know, we'll do this together. Like, check that. I'll just get totally out of your way and you do it.
Right. And you just build whatever you need. And he promises, like you said, the games. I think that was an on-the-fly thing, like you said. Absolutely.
So during Cameron's little act, the democracy flares up, like, mutiny, mutiny, yeah. But we're going to see that it's pretty non-existent pretty soon.
Yeah.
So Gordon, jump over to Gordon. He's got his open architecture computer company team going now. And he's like, I'm going to match your pay stubs. Whatever you're making now with whatever you're doing, you make it here with me now. And we see a little marketing savvy with Gordon here. He's going to put ads in high-end magazines, Michelle, which is really smart. For the people who can most afford, like, this new, crazy new invention called a computer that are, mm-hmm. that is customized directly for them. Mm-hmm. You know, those early adopter rich people.
Sure.
And he does see that. That's really pretty smart of Gordon.
Well, Rodney's saying that they can do them for, what, $800 or something?
Yeah, pretty cheap. I mean,
yeah. Right. Very competitive for what he's getting if they want the scaled down version.
So an interesting thing for me about this show, Michelle, is okay, now we see Donna and her stiff mom drinking wine and talking about Gordon. Donna defends Gordon and Mama just drags him down left and right.
Well, Mom's talking about the hard, realistic things that Donna is probably going to have to go through with Gordon while Donna's trying to kind of soft soap the whole thing.
Yeah, but what's she going to do? Just get rid of him?
No, put
him in a put him in a nursing home? Mama's trying to say, well, what if he's alone with the girls and the girls get in trouble? You know, that's just bullshit.
Oh my gosh, no, that's not. You can't leave young children.
So she what's the point?
Well, the point is maybe to bring Donna back to reality about the reality of her situation. She's going to work every day, and Gordon's doing whatever he's doing. The kids are in school, but kids aren't in school all the time. And you cannot leave your kids with somebody who has a brain dysfunction. That's irresponsible.
Well, maybe, but I don't know. She didn't offer many solutions. She's always picked on Gordon. She always thought, oh, this guy's the crazy dreamer of the stupid computer company.
Sure.
She's never really supported Gordon.
And here she is.
But anyway, my point is this mom is Annette O'Toole, who I always saw Annette O'Toole's name in the credits, but I just thought, where's Annette O'Toole? Is that Donna? No, that's Carrie Bechet. Like, where's Donna? Where's Annette O'Toole? And then that's Mama. Annette O'Toole is like old now. That's Mama. Do you remember Annette O'Toole from like the 80s movies where she was like the hot, she looked like Carrie Bechet? In the 80s.
Yeah, something's coming up about her in my mind. I can't. I'm not picturing it though. Oh.
She was hot. She was always in like this silly kind of rom-com fun movies like with Gary Busey and stuff but she was always cute. I always really liked her back in those days and I was like, "God, that's Annette O'Toole. That's Mama."
We all get old, Mike.
I know. Anyway, she was quite the movie babe. But we come back And to the mutiny house, and Lev is chatting online with his boyfriend, or what appears to be his boyfriend. And Cameron pushes him to meet the guy. Come on, you got to meet him in real life. You got to get together. And so the guys have taken the torn up offer sheet and repasted it, taped it together.
Yeah, and they're stunned by what they see.
And it's office space, renovation, expansion. That's why I say more than just money. It's
sure.
Building up. Now, this is where this you call them the goof troop. These knuckleheads are really stupid people. They're upset that Cameron owns 90% of Mutiny. What do they expect her to own? 5%. They own, you know, there's 20 of them. They all own 5%.
Well, that's what I was thinking, though, because, see, that's how she has always treated it up to this point. Was like, it's a democracy. In a democracy, everyone's equal. Everyone's opinions are equal and stuff. So maybe they did feel like they owned an equal part.
Well, you
whatever.
Should clarify that. If you don't know, you clarify it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but 90%, I was a little shocked that she owned 90%.
Yeah, well, what should they own? They're just coders.
Look, I don't know that they should own anymore. I know nothing about that kind of business. I'm just saying that the way she's always portrayed it, it was kind of shocking to me because that's not a democracy.
Well, that's a company, though.
Right, but absolutely.
She actually does try to run it like a democracy by holding a vote, which is really stupid, too. Like, should we sell? Yes or no? And everybody gets an equal vote. You know, shareholders get a vote by the weight of how many shares they own.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If she owned 49% of the company, that would be different.
Well, who would own the other 50%?
The other 51% could be divided between Donna, Boz, and the rest of the people.
No, but she's the founder. That's not how it works.
I don't blame her, but I'm just saying, depending on or 50%, I don't know. She talks a big game, but when it comes down to it, I think she's really a business person.
She's the founder. There was no Donna, there was no Boz, there was nobody but her. Her
and Joe, right?
No.
Oh, I thought Joe was.
No, I don't think so. I think Joe moved out, and 20 months later, Joe's house and her house became Mutiny. I think it's her company. She started it.
I thought that was the game she was trying to get him to sit down and play the morning they showed him walk away. So I thought he had a hand in it.
He was going to work at Cardiff that day.
Right, he was. I don't know. I just always thought he had a hand in it.
But
he walked away from it.
He walked away from her. He walked away, and then they went their own separate ways.
Okay.
So they find out by taping this offer sheet together that the current employees get a 64% increase in salary, which is pretty good, plus 1% of the sales price, which would have been $50,000. So that's a pretty nice chunk of change for some kid riding his bike into work.
In the 80s.
Making probably $15,000.
Right.
You know, so he's going to make now... what, $22,000 plus get $50,000 bonus. Just boom, right there.
Right, plus all the upgrades that they're going to get and the chance to make even more later on.
Yeah, nothing changes. You don't have to work harder. You just get, you've been bought. So that's what they voted against, and this is what they learn, and they realize this is really not a democracy.
Right.
Okay, so next we see Boz talking to Joe, pretty much by Joe's request. Joe's going to manipulate this situation to try to get these people to work them to get them to go Jacob's way.
Sure.
So Joe tells Bosworth he'd have a place in the future company in a corner office, and he needs his help pitching it to 9 global subsidiaries that West Group has and all this stuff. He's smart. He's going after, you know, the right-hand man of Cameron to convince him.
Well, plus he knows Boz, and he knows what Boz had, and he knows what Boz is comfortable with and all that kind of stuff, and he's really playing into that.
He knows what he lost, too, what he can get
back.
He'll never get it back in the real corporate world. So Jacob even comes in and shakes his hand, like, I'm on my way out of town, but I made a special distraction to come and see you, and...
Yeah, he schmoozes him, too, right.
Boz doesn't fall for this, though. He's too savvy. He's reluctant to... He's impressed a little bit and grateful a little bit, but you can tell he's not swayed by it too much.
That's exactly the impression I got.
All right, so now we see Donna working at home because, like you said, she can't really leave Gordon alone, but she's trying to work at home and help him and be there for him, and the lawnmower's going off in the yard, and I don't know who's running the lawnmower. It's Gordon's working, she's working. Who's running that lawnmower?
I don't know. Maybe it's a neighbor's lawn. They're pretty close.
Guys are running in and out of the kitchen, and Donna sees these guys and asks them to let her know if Gordon seems different, which is kind of a seed that gets planted that comes back to bite somebody.
But Larry, I think, is the guy who came in, and he mentions that Gordon has spent $40,000 on computer chips, and it freaks Donna out. Donna realizes that Gordon, with his... brain disorder, is making all these financial decisions too, and I think that freaks her way out. And so she hadn't thought about that either. I think her mom brought up a bunch of things she hadn't thought about. And now every little thing now is kind of playing on that paranoia that she has over the decisions he's making. And I think that's fair.
It would be weird if somebody you knew your whole life, all of a sudden you had to watch him like, I can't leave this person alone in the room for... Sure. I can't leave them alone by a telephone where they might, with a credit card, might order something that they shouldn't order.
Absolutely.
So now Joe works on Tom. He goes to his house. Does he go to Tom's house?
Yeah, no, they don't show that. But we find out in that meeting with Tom that Joe has went to Tom's house to talk to Tom. I think he did it deliberately when Tom wasn't there, although I don't really know how he would know all that. But he gives that information to Tom's mother. And so Tom's mother then sees what Tom has a chance of earning and doing. And then that makes Tom come to Joe and bring
that paperback.
Well,
you know that Joe has gone to Tom's house when he knew Tom wasn't home to be able to talk to the mother, who's poor as dirt, and say to her, look, you could get, this is your escape route from this. You could get money that is like, and Tom can still have his career, and he can be important, and he can have a nice role in this whole thing. So he works it.
Very manipulative. Very, very manipulative.
Yeah, so this meeting is at West Group, and Tom's all hot under the collar, but...
Tom kind of came in, blazing a trail because he's upset that Joe has done this.
And Joe does the math for him and starts to break down Tom, thinking, well, maybe this isn't such a bad idea. At least plants the seed of it.
Right. Well, right, because Tom didn't know the salary until Joe took it over there either. Nobody did. Cameron's kept all that secret. Only her and Donna and Boz knew.
So Boz and Cameron are talking, and then Tom returns to Mutiny, and the group dissidence starts now.
Yep.
So it's still pretty unusual that they don't know that she had that much. But they take a vote, and they get 2 votes to sell, 2 votes to keep the company, and then they find out that Lev has been attacked by this community abuser who wanted to beat up a gay kid.
Right.
And
Doesn't vote here. Tom was like the 5th vote, I think, and he doesn't vote.
Yeah, so. So Joe and Sarah. Now, Joe and Sarah, to me, have never been hot like Joe and Cameron. Sarah is a gloomy girl to me.
I keep like making notes about her, and then I feel guilty, so I like scratch them out where I can't even read them because I don't want to say so much negative about her. But I tend to agree.
Their roles together, they're always underwhelming, and this is the clue to me that their future was never going to pan out because they're not hot. They're like, if they're both attractive, they're both smart, but they don't have magic together. And this is another evidence of that. So, Jacob comes in and lectures Sarah how lucky she is to have found Joe, and she doesn't want them to leave town. And, Jacob just wants what's best for his company, period. He's selfish.
Yep.
Not even for his daughter. He wants his company and him to be successful.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, he's willing to kind of sell out his daughter, it feels like, to keep Joe happy at the company or whatever.
So Sarah says, I guess this is at a dinner somewhere, right? So
yeah.
Sarah says, nobody gives me any respect and does anybody even want to hear what I think? And then the director cuts away from the scene. So even the director in the episode didn't want to hear what she thinks.
Right. So, she's ticked at both of them, but we don't see Sarah not ticked off very much.
Yeah. It's never any fun to see Sarah.
No,
it's never
not.
Pleasant. Like it was pleasant to see Cameron with Tom and Cameron with Joe and Cameron with other people. She's real
bitchy.
Even
with Boz, right.
But she's really fun sometimes to watch.
Right, I agree.
All right, Gordon and the guys celebrate their first computer being built in 2 days, but you can tell they're gauging him. They've taken what Donna's told them to check on whether he's all right, and they're even asking if he's all right, kind of per Donna's instructions.
Well, yeah, but Gordon, I mean, he's like, waxing poetic there about life's meaning and following dreams, and they're like, you know, woohoo, look what we did. And then Gordon goes into this spiel about telling Joe that the 15-pound computer can't be done, and now they've done it, and won't Joe be, you know, so he just, like, completely spaces out.
Yeah, he sees the giant in his memory. He kind of has a like an awakened flashback.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do portable. Our portable's 15 pounds now. We did it. We made it. And these guys are just looking at him like, what the hell, dude?
I know. And you know all that's coming back with Donna saying to watch him at this point. Right. That's like you were saying.
And then there was a cool point of view shot from outside the dirty garage window towards the inside. That was kind of neat, I thought. And as that scene ended, it was like things are not crystal clear for Gordon. Things are blurry.
Right.
So everybody goes to the hospital. I guess that's next. Lev's in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at least we find out he's in the hospital. The community people beat him up. Joe and Sarah fight a little bit more. Cameron and Tom talk about the vote, which way he was going to vote. And Tom starts to explain how poor they are and that his mom was faking during that meeting.
Well, yeah. She faked about having the job and everything, but during that meeting, the mom had said every day when Tom gets home, he gets a cupcake and a something, and so Cameron's sitting there going, oh, you are a spoiled little boy, and in this one, he goes into the story about that they were so poor that what his mother didn't say was that that was his supper, and that's what filled him up, essentially, was the sugar, and just that was like a real impact moment to me on Tom and who he was.
Yeah, Tom is really smitten by Cameron, and she's becoming more and more indifferent to him, which is kind of the way that we thought things were going to work, too, that she's going on her track, and this guy Tom is just kind of weighing her down. We learn that Jacob's pretty savvy, too, because he's prepping for CES, this computer exhibit show. What is it? Computer... What is CES acronym? I think that's it. Computer Exhibitor Show.
I didn't catch that.
It's the show in Las Vegas every year. They used to have it every year anyway. They don't really have it anymore, but for computers. It's the show in season one where they went at the end to sell the giant.
Oh, right. Yeah. I don't know the name of it, but yeah.
It's the computer dealer show where all the computer people go to see the new technology.
Right.
Nintendo's getting really big, and cartridge games are getting really big, and but Jacob knows, he's smart like Donna. He knows that community is really going to be the huge thing.
Right.
So he's savvy. He's savvy and sneaky and untrustworthy. So we learn that he's more than just untrustworthy, that he's super smart, too.
Well, right. He's actually saying that throwing money into the games part of Mutiny is going to be throwing good money after bad because of Nintendo and the cartridge games and all that. And he says, you know, that the community is where they need to go. And then Joe brings up that he had to promise Mutiny to keep their games and stuff like that. And this is where Jacob looks kind of around and he goes, well, that was smart. And he's got like this real smug thing, like promise them whatever you need to get them. And then we're going to run it how we want to run.
And we'll change it. Yeah.
Right.
So next Joe goes to the hospital to see Lev. So we see him kind of being his nice side. I think he really is concerned about Lev. I don't think he's just going there to find another angle to work these people. I think he's probably heard about it and wants to just see how he's doing.
I agree.
But he does end up talking to Cameron, and he says to her that he had experience as this being picked on as a kid in high school, or they would call him a fag and write it on his locker, and he had to fight his way through it and not even go to his locker anymore and carry all 7 books around this whole school year.
Right.
And it made his life stronger, and he learned the importance of connecting and making good things out of bad that I believe is actually true of Joe.
Yeah, I agree.
And he says, he talks to her about the relationship that he had with her and how she was special to him, and now Sarah is special now, and then tells her not to sell out. Don't lose your vision. Jacob's going to pull the plug on you.
On the games part of it, right, which is Cameron's so positive on anyway.
And then he removes himself totally from the equation of their romance, which is the perfect, of course, perfect recipe for her wanting him again.
Right.
Her, him just bailing totally out, giving her honest good advice, and then bailing out like, there's nothing I want from you. I just want you to be successful and happy.
But I believe he means that when he says
it. He does mean it. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
I don't think that was a manipulation to try to get her to want him, is what I mean. Okay, yeah.
So Gordon gets the first order. Of course, spells more doom. Any good news is bad news when it's connected to Gordon here. And Joe and Sarah discuss marriage and how he's going to leave West Group. And he's just trying to prove... He, I believes that he should be with Sarah. But I think, in a way, he's also shielding himself from the past Cameron.
Yeah, like, I don't understand this though, because Joe and Sarah have been separated. That's what they're not back together.
Only for a week, short.
Yeah, but they're separated. And then he goes home and Sarah's in the house when he walks in, and he tells her that he's putting in his resignation at West Group, and if Sarah wants him to, he'll go away and leave her alone. Alone, just tell him what she wants. And she goes, let's get married today. Because we all know that marrying somebody is the answer when you're not getting along otherwise, right?
Yeah,
so
that's
always
dumb.
It's so stupid. And I mean, you know, and she's been through this before. I mean, she's been married to somebody who she had problems with, that her father's
business.
Well,
that's her problem. That's her shortcoming. She's not she doesn't believe people unless they like totally commit to her. And like marriage, this whole marriage thing is dumb, and their timeline is really super dumb. Like, we got to do it today.
Today, right. That's crazy. And then let's move to California. We'll be there in 2 weeks. I mean, craziness.
So then Cameron addresses the mutineers and just says, we're not selling. That's the bottom line. And that was the end of it.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think it was a good setup for the next couple episodes, and I still like this show better than I like some other shows that we're podcasting. So Halt and Catch Fire, working for the Clampdown, on West Coast Project. Michelle, do you have any final thoughts for 207?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right, next week is 208, Limbo. We're going to give it to you fast, though, because we're way behind. We'll probably post it in a day or two, and we'll get caught up all the way to where we should be. So,
absolutely.
Any way to reach you, Michelle, or what's the best way to reach you?
Twitter, I am Michelle from TN.
And I'm at Scathing Tweets. So from West Coast Project, that's it for 207.
See you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.